Everybody, I am Dr. Poppy Moon, and today I am going to be talking to you about one of the most exciting career development theories probably in the entire world. I've decided that I'm going to make a series of videos on different types of theories for you. So, as you guys, counselors, move through your graduate program and you get to the point where you're going to take the National Counselor Exam, I want you to have some of these that you can look back on and kind of refresh your memory of things that you've seen in class and just kind of, get it all together. So when you are ready to take the test, that you will do really well on it. So today we are going to talk about the trait and factor method. And of course, we have our good friend Frank Parsons. And there's a nice little photo of Frank Parsons right there. Okay, so the deal with this guy, it came out of the early 20th century. And during that time, there was a period of significant industrial growth. And there was becoming a real diversification of job roles. So there started to be this real demand for vocational guidance. And that really increased as more people were looking for jobs, and they were looking for jobs that matched the skills that they had and the interests. So there became this need for a theory. We needed a theory that was a systemic approach that would kind of address the mismatch between workers' abilities and the job requirements that they had. So this theory was really aimed at reducing job dissatisfaction. And when people are not happy at their jobs, there starts to be this high turnover, and people are not in careers that they're happy with, and the employers aren't happy with the people that they are, having to work with. So dun, 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 in steps Frank Parsons. All right. And Frank Parsons, whenever you start a school counseling program, it will drill into you that Frank Parsons is considered the father of guidance and counseling. He seems like a really neat guy. He published a lot of books. He, in 1909, I think, he wrote Choosing a Vocation, which is super, super important because it started the groundwork for the whole trait and factor theory. So what did he do that was so wonderful? In 1908, he established the Vocational Guidance Bureau in Boston, and this was the very first vocational guidance organization in the whole world. So Parsons kind of viewed guidance as a way to match individuals with optimal careers based on their values and their interests, their personality traits, and their abilities. So this sounds smart. I mean, it seems like common sense, but isn't it always funny how something starts somewhere and then it becomes very big? So good thing that he thought about this stuff because it was the very beginning of this movement. So Parsons developed one of the earliest theories of career counseling, and it was known as a three-pronged approach. And this involved the counselor gathering information about the client, the counselor gathered information about the occupational world, and then he tried to figure out where can we fit people into these different occupations. So his work, he's a pioneer, everyone loves him, and he has set the foundation for developing guidance and counseling as a distinct profession. So we all should be glad for him, right? And there he is right now, hanging out. I like to put a hat on him, just a little bit fun. So just a comment on the Vocation Bureau. People would come to that, and it's going to offer them counseling services. And it's not just for older people. Anyone, all ages could come. And the Vocation Bureau helped them to identify their interests and their skills and help find jobs that were a good fit for them. And like I said before, Parsons wrote several books, and these are books that they may ask you about on the NCE. So he wrote Choosing a Vocation in 1909, and then in 1913, he wrote a book called How to Live. His main impact was moving forward in the field of guidance and counseling. Let's see. Okay, so in the trait and factor methods, we have four different techniques that he used. The first one of those was assessments of traits. The assessment of traits basically was identifying individual abilities, their interests, and their values, and their personality traits. So he would say, "Hey, come on in, let's talk." He'd listen to them, he'd get some background, and then he would usually give them a psychometric test or an interest inventory or a personality assessment. And he would use the information to get kind of a picture of what that person was like. So maybe something that he would use would be a strong interest inventory. And that is a test that really helps people to assess preferences in their work tasks and in the environments. All right, technique number two was analysis of job factors. So understanding the skills, knowledge, and requirements, he needed to know that in order to know who would be good in what different type of occupations. So he used some different tools for that, which was job analysis and occupational databases. So in my class that I'm teaching right now, one of the things that we're going to be looking at is the Occupational Outlook Handbook. And that is a really, really great thing for anybody because it's millions of jobs and it breaks down all of those jobs into the different factors that go into making that up. So Siri, once again, we can see that Mr. Parsons' work is coming to us today and we are still using those things to analyze the jobs and see what kind of person would really fit in there well. Now comes the matching part. And I kind of see that as, for some reason, it makes me think of, you know, when you have children and they have these boxes and some are squares and some are circles or triangles and the child has to put the different ones in the different places. Whenever I think of his theory, I kind of think of this as part of the matching. So the matching was just comparing individual traits with job traits to figure out what was the best fit. And this was great because it ensured that individuals are placed in roles where they are likely to be successful and they are likely to be satisfied. Again, looking at a few more of his techniques, first off, going in a little bit more depth is the psychometric testing. So doing the testing ensured various psychological traits. It was looking at interests, aptitude, and personality. An example of one of those is the Myers-Briggs type indicator. And that's a really neat thing if you ever have a chance to look at it. It assesses people's personality preferences and it helps them find a suitable career. It's a little expensive to take the Myers-Briggs type indicator. However, there is a website called 16 Personalities, which is absolutely amazing. And it does the Myers-Briggs test for you. It's free. Anybody can do it. Again, if you're in my classes, I always have you guys go in and take that and learn a little bit more about yourself. It's fun to take and it will give you just a whole like personality evaluation of you. And you'll read and say, oh, now that's why I'm that way. Now I understand how I feel this way when I'm in this type of job situation and why I'm unhappy. So go ahead if you have a chance, because 16 personalities and you will find out your personality type. All right. Next technique is the occupational information. And so occupational information provides comprehensive details about job roles, about growth prospects, skills that are required, and working conditions. And one of the things that you can use if you are working in career counseling or if you're a student in career counseling class right now, one of the best things that you can kind of go out and learn about is what's called the O-Net. And using the O-Net, you can gather extensive data on different careers and you can help match them with individual profiles or individual people. If you are in my classes, we use the O-Net. One of the assignments is to find someone who gets to be your to get to be your role play person, and you will pretend like you are the career counselor. You guys will do the O-Net together. You will look at those things together and see how they can match depending on their personality type. If you're watching this and you're just getting ready for the NCE, it's a good idea to go back and look at the O-Net and see how that works, because you will probably see a question about the O-Net on this exam. All right. Another technique that he would use is structured interviews. Like I was saying at the beginning, he'd bring the person in. So he'd say, come on in, let's do a really in-depth discussion. We're going to explore your individual preferences. We're going to talk about your goals. And one of the things that I like is talking about past experiences, because you know, as you go through life, you think, oh, something's going to be really great. And then you get a job in that and you're like, this is the absolute worst. So career counselors will focus on those past experiences so you can create a roadmap so you won't be going in a direction that you won't want to continue in. Because sometimes I think we get stuck or we think that's all that we know, that we don't have other types of skills. And by doing these structured interviews, the skills from the job that you were not happy with, then you can try to take those skills and move them to a different place. And you can learn more about the different places that are available to you. So that is a structured interview. Let's apply the theory. Okay, let's apply it with our good friend, Sarah. And Sarah, there she is. She is a fresh college graduate. She is lost in the career maze. She has no idea what am I going to do with my life? That's our Sarah who's coming to our office. So during the first session, we're going to ask her a little bit about her background. And her background is she recently graduated with a bachelor's degree in communications. She has done some internships in social media management, which is great. She's done some event planning, and that was amazing for her. She really enjoyed that because she felt that she could use her creativity there. But then she felt like the roles were sometimes limiting. She is just really passionate, super creative. She likes doing creative writing. She enjoys public speaking, and she has a really keen interest in visual arts. And she wants to seek a career that allows her to make a really meaningful impact on other people's lives while leveraging those creative skills. So while we're working with her, we're going to ask her, hey, tell us about your interests. Let's break it down. What are your biggest top three interests that you have? And she says that those are marketing and teaching and graphic design. Those are careers that she is interested in. But she's overwhelmed. She's like, whoa, there's all these choices. I don't know. I don't know which path best aligns with my strengths and with my aspirations. And you would say, aha, you are in the right place because I am a career counselor and I can help you with this. One of the things I might do is give her a strong interest inventory, and that's going to help me to determine her work preferences and areas of interest. So let's say that I give that to her and I'm looking at her results, and it shows, of course, like we had been talking about, that there are really strong preferences for artistic and social themes, and it's showing that she likes being creative, doing creative activities, and interacting with other people. The next thing that I would probably do is give her a Myers-Briggs type indicator test. And that's going to help me understand her personality type. And after she takes the test, we find that she is an ENFP. And that means she's extroverted, she's intuitive, she's feeling, and she's perceiving. And that personality type suggests that she's going to really thrive in a dynamic and creative environment that is very people-oriented. So if we analyze the different job factors, let's take a look at the different things that are out there. So I would recommend that she and I sit down and we start researching different careers in marketing, in teaching, and in graphic design. So marketing, that involves creativity, it involves strategic thinking, and it also involves communication skills. And the roles of this can go all the way from digital marketing to brand management. So this is very interesting because I'm not a career counselor, but pretending that I'm the career counselor, because there's so many jobs out there, it's hard for me to be able to say, oh, this particular niche or this particular job. You can't possibly know all of the jobs that exist. So in doing these things, and using the technology that we have today, we can really start to look for all of these tiny, tiny places where someone can be successful that you might not think about to begin with. So another thing that when we were looking at that, the teaching might be something that she can do. And teaching is a position you have to have strong communication skills, you've got to have patience, and a real passion for education. So if she did that, if she decided to go into teaching, then she would have opportunity to make a big direct impact on students' lives. Okay, the third one that we looked at is graphic design. And graphic design work focuses on visual creativity. Looks at technical skills and design software and the ability to convey ideas visually. And it gives you a really high degree of artistic expression. So we'll sit down with Sarah and we'll kind of present all of that stuff to her and we'll start talking about each career path. We're going to go in great detail. We're going to talk about job descriptions, skills, different type of work environments that she can be in. Talk about growth prospects. Like once you start a position like this, where can you go? Like, is it stuck in this one place, or can you kind of climb up the ladder and do different things from that? So I would discuss how her different traits align with the demands and the rewards of each career. So if we choose marketing, it's going to align with her creativity and public speaking skills and her impact in making a strategic communication. So after we talk about it, we talk about the teaching, and then we talk about the graphic design. I think that for her, marketing is going to be best because she's going to be able to be creative. She's going to be able to hang out with other people, which was something that was important to her. She's going to make a big impact with her communication skills. And that's what we decide is what she's going to pursue. So if I was working with her, we talk about the pros and cons of this. And then at that point, we would work together to come up with a plan. If you're in my class, you will be working on something called the SMART plan. If you're not familiar with that, you probably need to go look it up, a SMART plan, because they'll ask you about that on the National Counseling Examination. And that is just a way to put the steps together that Sarah's going to take as she moves forward in searching for a career, in doing interviews, in selecting a job position, and kind of going on from there. So that is how you, the career counselor, would be helping her using our good friend Mr. Parsons' trait and factor method. Now, there are a few other guys that you should know about that have been involved in the trait and factor method. One of those is our good friend Edmund G. Williamson. So who's this guy? Williamson was a prominent figure in the development of the trait and factor theory. So he took Frank Parsons' original concept and he expanded them. He applied them more systematically in vocational guidance. You will hear his name with a term called the Minnesota viewpoint, and it's best known for a structured approach to career counseling based on the trait and factor theory. The viewpoint emphasizes a comprehensive assessment of an individual's abilities, their interests, and values, and then followed by matching these traits with suitable occupational choices. So his legacy, his work laid the groundwork for the development of more sophisticated and systematic career counseling methods that emphasized the importance of both the person and the importance of the job position. So we'll just think of him as he just took Parsons' work and he bumped it up a step. And I think theory is always interesting to me because people build on it. You know, like Frank Parsons, he's never really going to know some of these people. He's never going to know me that I'm talking about all of the work that he did, and then about you guys learning about it, and it just keeps building and building. So I always think that it's very interesting how people come along and people do different things. You might want to write this down somewhere. Our good friend Mr. Williamson, he expanded Parsons' theory to six steps. And these steps have this little mnemonic, and it's called All Small Dogs Prefer Cat Food. And there are six steps. It is analysis, synthesis, diagnosis, prognosis, counseling, and following up. I'll kind of go through what those might look like. So in the analysis, that's going to be we're talking about things, we're assessing their individual skills and values and personality traits and their goals. We're kind of like getting all together. We're analyzing the situation. So once we have that, we're going to synthesize it. We're going to put it all together and start an investigation on a comprehensive career plan. Like, what are these people's needs? What are their aspirations? It's all about looking at their strengths and weaknesses. Then diagnosis. So in a career counseling context, this is going to be where we are looking at challenges or barriers or obstacles that might keep a person from being able to reach their goals. So that could be something like a skill gap. Maybe there is in someone's resume, there is a big gap in between work times. Maybe they do not have a lot of experience. Their opportunities are limited. So we need to take that into account. How are we going to turn that into a strength and help people find a career? So the prognosis part really refers to the likelihood of will their career path be able to go along even if they have some problems with the diagnosis? And we're going to say, can they advance? Can they grow? What are external factors that might be causing problems? Then we're going to do the counseling. After doing all of this, looking at the whole person, you know, as a holistic way, we can sit down and work with them to support them, to help them find jobs, and to help them make informed decisions about their career path, because that's the main thing that we want to do. All right, so that's our friend, Mr. Edmund G. Williamson. All right, two other guys that you need to know about are Edwin L. Herr and Stanley H. Kramer. What do these guys do? How do they contribute? So they're really well known for their career development theory and vocational guidance. So they are focusing on education and career guidance. They've written a whole lot of things very extensively on the importance of integrating career counseling into educational settings. And they have contributed to the development of comprehensive career programs. They have some key works that I don't think they're fascinating reading, but you may need to know this for the test that they have written some of these books. One of their key books is called Career Guidance and Counseling Through the Lifespan. And that is a seminal work that covers various career development theories, starting with trait and factor, and it provides practical guidance for implementing career counseling programs in a lot of different settings. Now, I'm not going to go into detail on this, but Herr and Kramer have 16 predictors of success, and these are all right here. Just kind of know these. I would just go and maybe kind of just do a deep dive on their predictors of success. And they also have eight primary factors for information gathering. And that's for when you're sitting down and you're talking to someone, you know, about their abilities, their interests, their values. Just be aware that there are eight primary factors and kind of check those out and put them in your study guide because you will probably have a question about that on there. All right, here we go. Mr. James M. Chartrand, his role and contribution. His work has focused on advancing the understanding of career development processes and the application of career counseling theories, which of course includes our good friend, the trait and factor theory. So he had an emphasis on individual differences. He emphasized the importance of considering individual differences in abilities and interests and personality when he was providing guidance. In research and practice, his research has contributed to the development of more nuanced, personalized approaches to career counseling, helping to make sure that individuals receive guidance that is tailored to their unique profiles. Okay, so that's pretty much everything that you need to know about trait and factor. And don't worry, there's a ton of other career development theories that we're going to look at. But that's this for today. So I thought we would do a few fun flashcards for the National Counseling Examination. So here is number one. What is the focus of the trait and factor career vocational theory? What is the focus? Let you think about it for a minute. And the answer is diagnosis, strengths and weaknesses predict job satisfaction and success. So basically, we're looking for, is the job a match? Next up, Frank Parsons. Who is Frank Parsons and what is Parsons' theory? And you guys should be able to get this. It is the trait and factor matching theory, and it has three parts to the model. What are the three parts? Assessment of traits, analysis of job factors, and then the matching process. Okay, here we are. Williamson, Hare, Kramer, and Chartrand. The question on these guys are, what are Herr and Kramer's contribution to trait and factor? And we'll go here. And they are the ones that created these 16 different predictors of success, which include the eight primary factors for gathering information. So be sure that you check those out. You're going to see them again. Next one, what were some of the Parsons' significant works? Significant works. Of course, we have choosing a vocation, which was super popular. He also had one called How to Live, the Vocation Bureau, and Vocational Civics. So I would really like to meet this guy in real life. I wonder if he was a lot of fun to talk to, or if he was just always talking about vocations and helping people fit into them. Okay, so that's it for me on Trait and Factor. I hope that you enjoyed it. If you have any questions for me, I am an associate professor of counseling at the University of Louisiana Monroe. My email is moon@ulm.edu, and I'm always happy to help answer questions. If you have any ideas for me, something that you'd like to see on e doing NCE prep, then I would be happy to hear about it. So I appreciate you listening, and I hope that this was helpful for you.